Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, season three starting now. Some doubted us, thought maybe we would have season one, episode one, and that would be about it. We're at season three right now. Season three.
Well, I got to tell you, Joe, I doubt us. I still doubt us. And the fact that we're entering into season three and we're still friends and it's still called the Coach K and Joe Show amazes even the coach, Ken Schultheis.
Maybe,
we are excited to do that.
Maybe we should be called frenemies. Sometimes we butt heads, you know.
Well, that's a great term, but, you know, I don't think there's any frenemy. We're either friends or we're enemies, Joe. So let's just stay with the friends. But, you know, Joe, we come back on this Friday, August 8th. We've got the PGA going on down in Louisville right now at Valhalla. A lot of rain. They are trying to get the second round in. So much more going on. LeBron and Cleveland fall in love. Da-da. Kevin Love going to Cleveland. We'll see what happens. We've got Durant leaving the USA team. I don't blame him a bit. We'll try to touch on that. The regional finals of the Little League World Series. And, folks, I don't care if you think – excuse me?
New Albany's right there, one game away.
Yeah, New Albany's one game away from the Little League World Series. And, folks, if you're just listening to the show for the first time, we are via the Internet. And we touch the whole earth via the Internet, but sometimes there is a little delay between Joe and myself talking, and we might step on each other, so apologize. I don't apologize to him, but I apologize to you because that's just the way it is, as we are both in separate studio locations right now. Johnny Manziel, he's still the topic in the NFL. It's not for football. It's for all the personal appearances he's making. The NCAA, Joe, what do you think about this? The NCAA capitulates and gives the five power conferences in football, basically, they're the ones that pushed it, the right to decide on their own stipends, how they're going to do scholarships. I see a recruiting nightmare coming up on this, Joe.
Can of worms. They've opened up a can of worms, and it's not a good situation. And I think those five power conferences might have been ready to, you know, there's always been the rumor that they're going to break off from the NCAA. And I think the NCAA is trying to stave that off by giving some allowances to these conferences, but at the same time, I think that they've opened up a major can of worms.
And folks, we're not going to berate that to death today, but we will be talking about it as the next few months go by and how that will affect, and we'll have some guests that share that with us. If you are a NASCAR fan and you are a junior, Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan, you've got to be excited. He's got three wins on the season. Trails Jeff Gordon, I believe, in the points for the cup or for the chase, but Junior running well, and he's got another one coming up this weekend. The IHSAA, Indiana High School Athletic Association, if you are a veteran listener of the show, then you know that Joe and I cover both high school, college, pro sports, and anything else out there. But basically, the IHSA is releasing a new proposal for basketball alignments in the class system. It'll be voted on in October. We will talk about that as we move towards October. I can tell you right now that I spoke, and I will not tell you who that person was at this time, a member of the board of the IHSAA, and he has a pretty solid feeling that this one could pass. It's not a guarantee, but it could pass. We'll talk about that later on in this show and down the road. Real quickly, Joe, our guest for today, we've got Bill Somm, former NCAA czar, with us. He's our Indy High School football contributor. He's going to be on, and we're going to talk about Max Prep. Max Prep put out a top 10 Indiana high school football teams or programs of this past decade. Some people are not going to be happy with who's not on that list. Joe, you might be one of them. Also coming up, we've got Dave Crooks, owner and general manager of BCL Broadcasting, based out of Washington. He's got a number of stations. He's been trying to get the rights to broadcast through the NBA, the Boston Celtics, because of Tyler Zeller, and the Charlotte Bobcat games for Cody Zeller. He truly is a community champion. And being based out of Washington, he's trying to bring those games to the southern Indiana area. He was told by the NBA, no go on the Boston Celtics. We'll talk to Dave about what went on there, why, what rule kept him from doing that. We've also got Don Schulteis coming up, our Indy Hoops contributor, what's hot, what's not. And Kyle Neddenrip will also be coming up in the second hour. We're going to talk with Kyle about the Wild Wild West, as I call it. Recruiting wars going on up. We've got some North Central kids trying to transfer to Cathedral. A lot of people are saying, oh, it wasn't recruiting. Other people are saying it was. And also talk to him about the new IHSA proposal. So, Joe, besides all of the headlines going on in sports, all we did this summer, my old-timers baseball game over in Tell City, which I was 5-for-6 in, Joe. So much going on in the world of sports as we start year number three, season number three of the Coach K at Joe Show.
Was it wiffle ball or T-ball? I've always known you to be a little adept to that, but, you know, I don't remember you being that big of a hitter in Little League. I did play Little League with you, and I don't remember it. Coach, one thing we didn't hit on though, real quick, is I've been in depression since I got on Facebook one day and saw all these people. Oh no, actually I was on Instagram and saw all this Paul George stuff and did not know anything about it and had to Google it real fast, and the devastating injury not to Paul George and to the Indiana Pacers, and this morning when I saw the odds of winning the championship, they had 10 people on there and the NCAA championship, and they didn't even have the Pacers listed anymore.
Well, I can't wait till we can get Bobby Slick Leonard back to talk with us a little bit about that situation. Candace from the Indianapolis Star, we're trying to get her on to see if she can talk just a little bit as she follows the Pacers. But, Joe, what a turnaround in one day. Paul George, who was playing with the USA team. And I got to tell you something, Joe. And for you red, white, blue people out there, I'm a red, white, and blue guy myself. But I almost think this is apropos. This is almost a wake-up. Listen, these guys are professionals. They play a long NBA season, a really long NBA season. Long. And Paul George played one of the longest. And he goes out, and they're playing in these getting ready for international competition, which I don't think means a hoot for Paul George, Kevin Durant, or anyone else on that team, unless it's Olympics time, for them to be out there, regardless of what anybody wants to say. I know basketball has become an international game. Coach Krzyzewski, Jerry Colangelo, they do a great job, but they're going to have to go with younger players. Not only is his career in jeopardy, and a huge paydays and whatever else down the road. But the Pacers saw their season, as you just said it, Joe, turned around in one single play. They go from the leading contender in their division to one of the top two teams in the Eastern Conference, period, and now you've got Chicago leapfrogging ahead of them. You've got Love coming to Cleveland with LeBron James. They're ahead of them, and possibly another team or two in that division itself, they go from a top two team in the conference to somewhere in the lower echelon of making the playoffs. Joe, I don't know how you feel about it. I'm going to let you tell us. I just do not think those guys need to be out there.
Well, especially, you know, Paul George had, just as you said, had one of the longest seasons, a grueling, there's a time, I think, where the legs got to rest. The body just has to recover. And after playing a long season, I'm just not sure if he needed to be doing that right now. I mean, some of them want to be involved with that, but I just think that it would have been better served for him to not be out there playing basketball right now, but resting that body for his upcoming season on the Pacers, which, you know, a lot of people had as marked as a big one. That's who pays him.
Exactly. And we know that since then, well, right before then, if you remember, Joe, if our listeners will remember, Kevin Love said, I'm not going to play for the USA team. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of negatives about it, but there are a few people that question it. I didn't question it. I mean, the guy is in one of the years where he can opt out after this year of his contract, go free agency. He had too much on the line. I don't blame those guys. When they're done playing for the USA team, is anyone going to take care of them? Is anyone going to pay their bills? Is anyone going to give them generational money? I don't think so. And then afterwards, now you've got Durant saying, my heart's not in it. I'm tired physically and mentally. I'm going to step away. I do not blame those guys. I would rather see this USA international play be for the seniors in colleges or the first year guys trying to make it in the NBA, make a name for themselves, try to up their stock in the NBA. That's what I'd like to see. If we can't produce a good enough team from there, well, then so be it. Now, when the Olympics time come along, that might be a different story. But there are a lot of people that, just like you, Joe, I was the same way. When I heard about it, the night it happened. I heard about it within 15 minutes of the Paul George injury. And I got to tell you, everybody in the room, we're all Pacer fans, it was just dead silence. And the first comments was, why in the heck does he need to be out there playing for that USA team? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for the USA. Red, white, blue. Stars and stripes. Dominant in every sport in the world. I'm for that. But guys, we got to use common sense. This is these people's livelihood. They're those one in a million guys that have this chance to be special. To be special and make so many things around them special and get paid for it. And folks, very disappointing. Very disappointing, Joe.
Yeah, as I reiterated, the Pacers pay him, and now the Pacers, you know, are going to lose income off of it, actually, you know. They're not going to draw the people that they would have drawn with Paul George and a better team. You know, if they are a mediocre to bottom feeder, how many people are going to be at Banker Life this season, you know?
Yeah, there's no it hurts it all, Joe.
It's just a shame that it happened, so.
Yeah, I'm really sad about it. I know most Pacer fans are, and I don't blame them. Well, Joe, I'll tell you what, we've got Bill Somm coming up here in just a couple minutes. If you're ready, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little top 10 Max Prep, top programs of the decade with Bill Somm, and probably, since he does have that NCAA background, folks, we might just ask him his thoughts on the open can of worms, which is now the Power Five conferences. If those of you who listen to the show consistently, you know Bill's been with us for 3 years, and he has mentioned before that the NCAA was going to have to be proactive, make some adjustments, or those power conferences were going to move out on their own. Well, I'll tell you what, he was right on it, and he should be. He's been in that position with the NCAA, but when he comes back, we're going to talk a little high school football, maybe a little NCAA can of worms. Folks, how fortunate are you? You're listening to year number three, the third season of the Coach Canjo Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we are back on the Coach K and Joe Show, year number three, folks. And who has been with us for all that time? Well, he's back with us to start year three, courtesy of the Lantern Road Capital, Coach's Line, financial partners to grow your business. Hey, it's Bill Somm. Bill, how you doing?
Great, Coach. How are you doing? And congratulations to both you and Joe on year three.
Yeah, well, you're a part of that. You know, I told Joe, I said, it's amazing. Not only are we in year three, but we're still friends. We're still talking to each other. And the show still is called the Coach K and Joe Show. So that in itself is quite a victory for us.
Well, and somehow or other, we're all getting younger, too. So I think it's all a good thing.
Hey, I'll tell you what. There's so much going on in sports as we start year three. Just things just hit this last week. It's crazy. Last night, I know we want to talk about the Max Prep top 10 teams of the decade in Indian high school football, and we're going to jump to that in just a second. But I just have to ask you, and Bill, you talked about it. You were like a prophet last year. You talked about it. You said something's going to happen with the Power 5 conferences with the NCAA, because if it doesn't, those guys may go out on their own. And what happens? They vote to allow them to really make a lot of their own decisions when it comes to how they're going to do stipends and recruiting. Just quickly, your thoughts on that as this begins to unfold.
Well, Coach, I think it's interesting that they took the step. I think it was necessary. You and I have talked about that many times, and I think you believe it was necessary also. But now I think we're going to enter into a very interesting time. Okay, they now have the power they want. Okay, and they've been debating that for years. They've been saying, if you let me do it my way, I'll do it right. Well, now they have to do it. So it's going to be very interesting to see what those Power Five conferences think that they know so much more about than everyone else. It's always been easy, I think, to say that you know, we're not into the whole level playing field thing, and we don't, you know, if I'm at Ohio State, I really don't care what Bowling Green does. But I think now they've been given the power. They've been given the flexibility, so what are they going to do with it? Where are they going to draw the line? Because even they have to draw the line somewhere. So that's kind of the next step that I'm looking forward to. I don't think at this point, I think it's been put off for many years now, or some number of years, any more discussion about the NCAA breaking up. I think it'll need to go through an evolution of these five conferences having their governance structure. They're going to have great debate within their own structures. I mean, you know, in the ACC, for example, Wake Forest is a little bit different than the top schools in that conference from an academic standpoint and from a budget standpoint. So there's even a spectrum within each of those conferences. So I'm kind of excited to see what they do with what they've been begging for many years.
I think this is going to be a great unfolding story. And, you know, Bill, for those listeners who have been with us and those new to the show and will listen on podcasts, You're a former NCAA director, compliance, also gambling enforcement. If you were back in that spot today, as far as the compliance and things, you'd have to be kind of shaking your head and saying, you know, they're going to create this board of 80 people to come up with these rules with some players on it as well. You said debate. There'll be a lot of debate with that many people. You'd probably be shaking your head today, wouldn't you?
Well, I'd be stepping back to just to see how it unfolds, and I guess I would be hoping that they're going to, if now that they have the power and now that they have a budget, especially with the new college football championship coming online, I hope they liberalize things. There's in this day and age, they're just not going to survive the media scrutiny, the lawyer scrutiny, and the young student athlete scrutiny of the money going in the school's pocket and none of it going to the kid. Again, I don't know that they'll ever pay him, but you know, I think you probably are well aware that they've already changed the quote food rule. They can now feed the athletes as much food as they want to, rather than being put in a silo of how much food and how many times a day and how many snacks. So I hope they liberalize it. I hope actually in the long run it becomes a cleaner, easier enforcement procedure. Because at the end of the day, what we really need is young people to get educated and the public to be entertained.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you and I, as well as our listeners, we'll be talking more about this as we move forward, as they prepare for all this in 2015. I might add, if I was one of these power universities, I think I would be seeking out Bill Salm and trying to hire him in into a position to help us get this all figured out, since he's been there, done that, and knows a little bit about it. But the news at hand today, you shared on Facebook a top 10 list of Max Preps decade for the past decade, top football, high school football programs in the state of Indiana. I saw that, I shared that, and I thought, perfect topic for Bill to come on and talk about on the first show. First of all, your thoughts on the list, and let's kind of go through it.
Well, Coach, first of all, I want to make sure you're okay, because the sound in the air is a thud of a football and not the bounce of a ball. So I hope that this transition is going okay into football season. I know you think it's still basketball season, but that thud is out there. It's hot and it's humid, and you can smell the grass, and it's all good.
And it does take odd bounces. It has odd bounces and points.
Okay, this top 10 list is probably like every other top 10 list. It's probably created to be debated. But I think it's well done. You can probably debate a couple of them. What Max Preps has done is they put Cathedral at the top over the last 10 years. And to be honest, I think that's a close call. You know, you have to have caramel on the tip of your tongue, I think, if you're looking at the last 10 years. Warren Central had a good first 5-6 years and then tailed off a little bit. But they have Cathedral at the top simply because they've won 7 state titles. And 9 out of the 10 years they finish in the top 10. So it kind of just takes care of itself when you put those numbers down. I think in another 5 or 6 years, it'll be interesting to look at this again with the whole reclassification that's taken place, because people will say that maybe Cathedral is now in the division that they should have been. So Cathedral ended up number 1, but number 2 was Warren Central, and number 3 was Carmel. So again, I think you could really debate both of those schools in either position, and probably at the end of the day, a great debate could take place on whether Cathedral, Warren Central, and Carmel could all interchange amongst each other. I think one of the things that sticks out, and we've talked about this over the last couple of years, at all three of those schools, there are just great coaches. And the coaching has become so much better in Indiana and in the city of Indianapolis, that I think that's why you're seeing such great football. And it's not ironic that those three schools have great coaches and have had several great coaches at a couple of those schools. The fourth school is Bishop Chittard. That one, they are well-deserving. They had five state titles. But when you drop down to the sixth-ranked school, Center Grove, I got to kind of wonder if Center Grove maybe shouldn't be four or five, simply because they've won 89 and 34 over the last 10 years, and Center Grove's schedule is a little bit tougher than Bishop Chatard. So Bishop Chatard comes in at four. They certainly are well-deserving of the top ten. Fort Wayne Bishop Lurs is at five, Center Grove's at six. So it's kind of the other sore thumb that sticks out there again, of course, for your listeners is you got three Catholic schools there in the top five. Some folks are going to find that bothersome.
Yeah. You know, Bill, when you look at those first five, I think there'll be people throughout the state who will get Cathedral and they'll get Carmel, they'll get Chatard. I think that one of the program that probably, and I know they've had the state titles and they've been solid, but we just don't hear a lot about them in the other sports, and therefore they're not the household name, and that's like a Warren Central. I know they've had great football, but a lot of people, I think if you brought up Warren Central, if they're not focusing in, they just don't hear a lot about Warren Central as a high school.
Well, you're right. They have not had very good success at any high level in basketball, which is a bit surprising, at least to me, just because their numbers are so big and they're located in a good demographic area for basketball, just generally speaking, in the city of Indianapolis. But I think there's some – I mean, you and many of your listeners are basketball experts, and you just know there's so many great basketball schools in the city. Somehow or other, it just hasn't happened at Warren Central. But you don't hear about their baseball team. You don't necessarily hear a whole lot about the entire track team. So you're right. Carmel, I think, has been ranked nationally for the all-sports trophy for the last 5-6 years, and certainly often over the last 15 years. You know, they have an unbelievable swimming program there. They've been very successful in both men's and women's basketball. They're very good at track and field. They're very good, obviously, in football. But you're right. Warren is not well-known outside of football.
And let's hit these last five and then talk about...
Well, we have, as I mentioned, Center Grove comes in at number six, and I think there could be great debate if they should be a little bit higher. Number seven, we have Lawrence Central, and they're kind of Johnny-come-lately, at least in my book. They're 77-42 over the last 10 years. Certainly they've had four top 10 finishes in the last 10 years, and, you know, they had that great undefeated season in 2012, but I think they're a program on the rise. I think it's going to be very interesting to see if Lauren Central can sustain their success. It's going to be interesting to watch that. Certainly they've had a run of some really good athletes, and I'm sure at some point, Coach, we'll talk about the better athletes in the state of Indiana, but golly, they have a great linebacker at Lauren Central who's already decided to go to Michigan, and they have a really fine defensive lineman who's going to Virginia Tech next year. So they're going to be good again this year. And then you have Ben Davis, which is a well-known name football-wise in the state. They're 79-37 over the last 10 years. Ben Davis, it always seems like their expectations are so high and they just don't quite get it done. They won the state in 2004, and they've had five top five finishes in the last 10 years. But I think people expect a little bit more out of Ben Davis, and it's going to be interesting to see how they proceed over the next couple of years, because they're not, I don't think, program that they used to be, or certainly that their tradition holds. In at number nine is Hamilton Southeastern, which is located in Fishers, Indiana, and a lot of your listeners may not be as familiar with that area from the standpoint of population. Coach, that area is just exploding from a population standpoint, and just because of sheer numbers, I got to believe that their entire athletics program will do nothing but get better. They're 93-25 over the last 10 years, and they're coming in number nine on this list, and I would think that they're going to be a very challenging program in all sports, but certainly football as we move forward. And then at number 10, just to keep the debate going, we have another Catholic school, Lafayette Central Catholic. Coach, they only lost 15 games in 10 years. They're 114-15, they had three perfect seasons during that time period. They won four straight state championships just since 2009. They've had some really great success, and certainly they belong in the top 15 or 20. But again, because of the size of the school, there could be some debate down the line. But that's how the top 10 falls out.
And when you look at some of the other teams outside of the top 10 or some that didn't even make the total list, anybody stands out for you? Anybody, your thoughts? I mean, obviously, located down in the southern part of the state, Jasper doesn't ride in there. I mean, is this all on wins? Is this all on state championship appearances? Your thoughts on some of the teams that round out this list overall, and some that you don't see on there at all?
Well, sure. Evansville Wrights, I think, I'm not sure why they're not a little bit higher. They came in at 20. And you know, they went 102-26. They had two perfect seasons in the last 10 years. Obviously, strength of schedule versus a Lawrence Central would come into play. But golly, you still got to show up every week and win. And obviously, they've done that. So I'm a little surprised they're as low as 20. Ron Colley came in at 17, and they certainly just did that in the years 04, 05, 06, 07, because they haven't done diddly in the last 5 years. They've been very, very poor. Those are two that jump out at me. I think, you know, Pike comes in at 15. They went 72-43, and I think I kind of put them with like Ben Davis. People always have a lot higher expectations, and somehow or other they kind of stumble around. But I also was thinking, like, if we project out 5 years from now, what a couple of high schools in this area might float into there. And to be quite honest, I think you may see Southport High School maybe make that top 20. Billy Peoples, who I think is probably one of the finer coaches in the state of Indiana and just may be the best or second best coach in Indianapolis, has really just got the job done at Southport. And later, as the fall continues, I'm sure we'll spend some time talking about his quarterback, who's a very good football player. And then, you know, we have a new head coach at Brebeuf Jesuit, and in his first year, he brings that team to the state championship, Mick Ressler. So it'll be interesting to see how he pulls that team together in the coming weeks.
Well, was Columbus East anywhere on that list?
Columbus East, yes, Columbus East was on that list. They're 12th. They went 117-13. I think the problem is, in regards to not being in that top 9 or 8, is that they've only won one state championship in the last 10 years. You know, I think that's their number one problem. Obviously, their record is just stellar. Lots of people like to take shots at their strength of schedule. Certainly, they've had some great players going back to Keogh and the quarterback situation. But they usually ride herd over the season, and they get in the tournament. And at least the last couple of years, they've ran into Cathedral. Cathedral obviously is out of that area now. So, you know, since they've moved up in their division, so maybe Columbus East will have a shot again. They still have a really nice tailback down there at Columbus East.
Well, I know that football is in the air. There's no doubt about it. We've got preseason NFL. We've got college news galore, high school start, and you are getting yourself completely immersed so you can come back and talk high school football all year. I would be remiss if I did not give you a minute to talk about your son, Zach, and he'll be going to West Point. In fact, his first year, he'll be at the West Point Prep School. How's things going for him, and did he like his haircut?
Well, thanks for asking. And we actually, West Point, he is at the prep school, which is basically a redshirt year because they can't redshirt once they get to West Point. And it also, I think, helps prepare all of those young men better academically. I think he cannot wait till Sunday because we dropped him off 3.5 weeks ago, and they took his phone and they took everything he owns and his hair, by the way, as you mentioned. And he's been out in the woods for 3 weeks, and they come marching in on Sunday. So we're excited that he gets his phone back and we'll be able to do a little communication. They start football on Monday morning, and they play 11 football games. They play the Army JV a couple times. They play Air Force is going to fly in their prep school the night before Air Force plays Army at West Point in October. He's sent a letter to some of us, and he says he likes it. And you know, it certainly has made me more cognizant of the individuals, men and women, who serve our country. And I'd rather talk about them than my son, because as Zach taught me shortly after his visit, he said, "I haven't done anything yet, and we got to worry about those guys and gals that have served in Afghanistan and Iraq and Vietnam and certainly in the other world wars." But we're excited that he's there, and hopefully we can spend the coming years talking about beating Navy.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. And like a lot of families, sons and daughters are going to be headed off to college in the next few weeks, and their first experience, and for parents as well. Real quickly, we got to end this segment. Bill, is there anybody on the high school level of note in Indianapolis that transferred schools from a football standpoint? Because
I thought we got
some basketball guys. What about football? Just one or two quickly.
Yeah, well, I thought we were going elsewhere with that question. But, actually it's kind of interesting, and they're still have to watch this play out. There was an issue at Tech last year where there was a fight that took place between people in the stands and the players and the coaching staff. And as a result, many things happened, and to no fault, because I understand he's a good man and a great coach, the head Tech coach left. So they had a great tailback who's being recruited by multiple MAC schools, and I think he's committed. But he was committed to Western Michigan, and he's still reevaluating that. But he transferred to LC, and they have an offensive lineman who transferred to LC, and then there's some recruiting issues. And I think the state association is still trying to work that out. So we need to – I'll keep track of that, and we'll figure that out as we go along. But LC, it would mean wins and losses for LC with this kid at Taylor.
Yeah.
He's that
okay.
Good. But those
well,
are the two that come to mind.
Tough as always, Bill. Remember, Bill Somm, be with us throughout the year with India High School Football and NCAA, former director at the NCAA on gambling and compliance. He's been there. He's done that, coached as well. Bill, thanks for joining us in year three.
Thanks, Coach, and have a great year.
Yeah, and you have a great year and great weekend. Folks, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we got Dave Crooks, owner, general manager, DCL Broadcasting, or DLC Broadcasting. He had a situation with the NBA trying to broadcast some NBA games for local stars, the Zellers. We'll talk a little bit with Dave and more stuff as we begin year three of the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Before we get to my next guest via the Lantern Road Capital Coaches Line, I've got a tweet here from Bree. Bree tweets me and say, "Coach K, do you think Cleveland should have kept Wiggins? He has so much potential." Bree, let me tell you something about potential. if you don't have anything good on your team, potential is great. But if you got something good, you need to move forward with something better. And Wiggins is tough. He has the potential to be a great NBA player, but he's not yet. Kevin Love brings to Cleveland 26 points a game, 12 rebounds a game, a huge body, an NBA All-Star. I've been in coaching, and I'm telling you right now, most fans aren't waiting for potential. They want to see you be successful, whether it's a high school, college, or pro level. I think Cleveland's making the right move. Bree, thanks for your question. Let him take his potential to the cold woods of Minnesota, and LeBron wants to play with somebody right now who's ready. Our next guest, Dave Crooks. Dave Crooks is coming in from DLC Media Group. Let me tell you something about Dave Crooks as I bring him on. Owner and GM, DLC Media, he is truly a servant leader, community champion in any area that his radio stations are at. He served in the Indiana House of Representatives, 96-2008. You are, and I say this because I've followed the progress of your businesses, Dave. You are truly a servant leader, community champion. Welcome to the Coach Canjo Show.
Well, it's a privilege to be on your show this morning. Thanks for calling.
Well, Dave, we brought you on because you were in a unique situation. As I said, you're very much for the communities that your radio stations are in. You have the Zellers, who graduated from Washington High School, have gone on to North Carolina, Indiana University. One's playing in Boston, one in Charlotte. You're trying to bring their games to broadcast in the local area, and you kind of ran into a snag when it came to the Boston Celtics, I believe, and the NBA and the ability to do that. Can you tell our listeners just a little bit about that and basically what came out of it?
Well, every time the Zellers have played, WAMW in Washington has carried their games, and that started with even Luke, of course, at his freshman level, and then, of course, Tyler and Cody, too. Of course, we had Tyler's North Carolina coverage. We did not have Cody's IU coverage, at least at my Washington station, but we did at my Rockville Terre Haute station. But the bottom line is, in Washington, the past two seasons, we've carried Cleveland Cavaliers basketball on one of my two Washington stations to follow Tyler. And then, of course, last year we picked up Charlotte because, of course, of Cody Zeller. Well, once we heard about the trade for Tyler going to Boston, I immediately tracked down the sports station in Boston and said, hey, you know, we want to cover the Celtics. And the guys at the flagship in Boston were pretty excited and thought that's kind of neat. So they said, sure, we'll sign you up. And we had the proper satellite receiver to make it happen, and we were ready to roll. And about 3 days later, I get a call from the flagship for the Celtics, and they said, well, we can't affiliate you after all. And I'm like, why? And I'd even pointed out that during the Larry Bird era, the Celtics were on in both French Lick and in Terre Haute. Why can't we have the Celtics? Well, there's a gentleman at the NBA office by the last name of Sorelli. I think it's Tom Sorelli. He basically vetoed the deal because there's some kind of provision in their broadcast rules that say you cannot carry an NBA team if you're 500 or more miles away from that local team. And I said, well, why would that matter? Is the next question. Well, they claim that, well, you might be hurting the local team in your area. And I'm like, well, the local team in my area, the Pacers, are already on my competitor in my town, so they've got plenty of coverage. And to make that even crazier, the Pacers even asked me to cover their games in Terre Haute because they had a hole there. So last year we put the Pacers on in Terre Haute, so that they're very familiar with what we're trying to do and very supportive. But, you know, a rule's a rule, and the NBA home office said, you can't do this. So I sent them a pretty tough letter, and they didn't like my attitude in my letter, so they were, like, ignoring me for about a week, and then I finally calmed down a little bit, and we finally had a phone conversation with Mr. Sorelli and one of their legal beagles, and we walked through why they would not let me do this. And when I just very very much reminded him that, hey, we're just simply trying to promote our local hometown pros and promote the NBA. I mean, there's people in my town that weren't even NBA fans until we started putting the Zellers on the radio, and all of a sudden they're buying jerseys and listening to Charlotte and Cleveland Cavalier basketball, for example. But apparently we can't have the Celtics on my little station in Washington, Indiana now because the NBA is concerned it might set a bad precedent. I just don't understand it.
I find it amazing. And there's no appeal process you can go through or put the application back in or something? Nothing?
No, the NBA rules are a lot different than Major League Baseball, I guess. They're very rigid, and the guy in charge is pretty rigid with his position. And I said, tell me why in Washington, Indiana, if the local team is not harmed, meaning the Pacers, if the local team is supportive of this, why is this so wrong? I said, we're just trying to promote our local player. And the guy from the NBA said, well, why if Kobe Bryant decided to go to New York? We wouldn't want a Los Angeles station covering the Knicks. And that was his best response. And I'm thinking, well, what would it matter? I mean, it's not like people are going to like go to Knicks games if they live in Los Angeles, you know. But if there's more than one NBA game on the radio at night, why is that bad for the league? Most nights during the NBA season, if we don't have a high school game to conflict, you can hear the Pacers game on my competition. You could hear the Cavaliers game on one of my two channels and Charlotte on another. How is that bad for the NBA when they're getting all this wide exposure? But somehow it's damaging to the league, and I can't have the Celtics now.
Well, it is disappointing. I'll be honest with you, as a sports fan and somebody who wants to follow the Zellers, as I'm sure there are a thousand people out there in Southern Indiana that would love to keep track of the Zellers in the professional league. It's very disappointing, and I can't imagine. I mean, could you get the Pacers to sign off? Is there? There's just no recourse.
I tried. As a matter of fact, the guy at the Pacers office, he can't even get the Pacers on in South Bend because the Bulls have an active affiliate. And they don't want to offend the Bulls, so the Pacers can't even affiliate in South Bend because they're claiming South Bulls territory. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. So I just think it's silly, and it goes against, you know, I mean, what would be the harm? And by the way, what's kind of funny about this, you know, the fact that these guys would use the New York, Los Angeles example, you know, the station that I'm trying to put them on is a 500-watt daytime AM station, which means at night it's not even on the air. But we have a 99-watt FM station that, you know, it has the potential to reach, you know, 50,000 people that live here, but obviously not that many are ever going to listen. But it's going to be the hardcore Zeller family, Zeller friends, Zeller fans that are from the Washington, Davies County, Indiana area that can kind of tune in once in a while and be exposed to Tyler Zeller in an NBA game. But somehow the NBA thinks it's threatening if my little station carries the Celtics game. So it's just the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Well, that's where I always go back to. You have to have that little gray area no matter what you do, because you're right. You're not out there competing with the Pacers or anyone else. You're providing local people who have a local flavor in the NBA an opportunity to be a part of his progress.
Yeah, you would think they would want more stations to pick up the games, and that would be a win-win for the NBA, whether it's an exposure for the broadcast, and, of course, that helps sell tickets when they do come to a local venue, let alone they might buy a jersey or two. But, nope, not going to happen. And, by the way, it is possible for fans to apparently sign up for an NBA league pass. The gentleman told me that is a free service that the NBA provides if you want to listen on the Internet. I guess you have to listen to maybe a couple of web ads before it actually goes to the team of your choice. So apparently they're going to force people just to listen via the web. So maybe that's what they're trying to protect. But you guys remember when Larry Bird was playing for the Celtics, you'd have Johnny Most on the radio on French Lick or Terre Haute, and it was kind of cool hearing those broadcasts. And that's kind of what motivated me to reach out and do this for Tyler and the fans, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it was so much fun listening to the great Johnny Most on the radio talking Boston Celtics. And you and I are similar in age, so we understand exactly what was going on at that time. Dave, before I let you go, a couple things. I mean, your focus really is, with your broadcast station, you try to keep a connection and serve the community. Just real quickly, your thoughts and your philosophy.
Well, we operate small-town radio stations, and despite all the talk that, you know, local radio is gone, it's alive and well in many of the markets that we're in. I mean, when we broadcast a local high school ball game, I mean, we're at every home and away boys and girls game for Washington. I'm actually the play-by-play voice for the boys' teams, and despite the fact we're without Zellers, you know, we still have one of the finer facilities anywhere in the state for a ball game, the Hatchet House, and it's just a great environment, and we're a big part of that. But we like to broadcast what's going on in our community. Matter of fact, we had a Little League team last month that made it to the region finals, and my morning show host said, hey, I'll broadcast that, so we did. We broadcast our Little League team on the radio, and we just do anything that's local. We think it's important to make sure the kids get the exposure, but we think that's what local radio should be doing. And all of our stations are very active in sports programming. Matter of fact, I can't get the Colts on any of my three stations, so I know the NFL is popular, and I think on a Sunday afternoon, if you can make a buck and put a team on the air, we do that. So Rockville and Vincennes even carries the Bears, and my Washington station carries the Bengals. So maybe I'm a Hoosier outcast for doing that, but the Bears had a lot more fans in Indiana before the Colts ever came to town, so there's active Bear fans in the area, and there's even quite a few Bengal fans.
Well, I know that we're on the Internet right now, so we're all over the world. So somebody out there who has a connection with the NBA, get a hold of somebody up there and get this rule changed so the people in southern Indiana, the Washington Indiana area, can listen to some Boston Celtics and Tyler Zeller. Dave, one last thing, and I'll let you go. Respect your time. You lost a very good friend, basically almost a work partner for you, employee Brad Dietz, a few months ago in a tragic motorcycle accident. Wonderful guy and just a good community person.
Oh, no doubt about it. He was a dear friend and a great broadcaster, and we're still reeling from that loss, and you just never know how much time you've got on this earth. And, yeah, that was quite a tragedy, and we're still reeling from that loss for sure.
Well,
but,
Dave,
by the way, I want to plug one more thing, if you'll let me.
Yes,
if you guys want to see something really cool on YouTube, when we're talking about the Zellers, when Luke Zeller made that wonderful half-court shot when Washington won the first of four state championships with the Zellers, someone actually put my play-by-play audio under the actual video. So if you go to YouTube and search Luke Zeller the shot, you might see what I think is one of the most exciting play-by-play events in high school sports in Indiana that night. It's even when I play it today, I get goosebumps.
Well, I know that Joe will probably go to YouTube, will probably download that audio and play it on the show as we get into high school basketball season.
Well, absolutely. It'll be here before you know it. And good talking to you guys, and let's stay in touch, and maybe we'll chat again.
Dave, we'll have you back, and absolutely enjoyed it. And, my gosh, I'm sending a letter to the NBA. This needs to be reversed.
Well, I would appreciate your support. If you can email or get a message to the league office and tell them you think this is a ridiculous rule, maybe they'll take a second look at it eventually, because if they would change their minds today, we would make plans to put the Celtics on as soon as the season starts.
All right. It sounds great. Dave Crooks, DLC Broadcasting. We're going to go to break. You've been listening. Yes, you have. Season 3, Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is John Goldsberry, former Boilermaker and Buffalo Bill, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Folks, Dave Crooks, that was a blast. You talk about the NBA overprotection of a brand. That was almost ridiculous. NBA, I got to tell you something. You do a lot of good things. You really do. You've had some challenges here with Donald Sterling and the lot, but you've seen your teams values, some of them are up to $2 billion now. Are you telling me, folks, that a local station who has a local player on a team, because they're outside a 500-mile radius, can't broadcast on a low-powered station because you're protecting the rights of other NBA teams in the area when they are also already being broadcast by one of his radio stations? Makes no sense to me at all. Bill, that's overprotection of your brand. Folks, right now, if you've got a 401k, if you've got a rollover that needs to be done, if you've got some money, this is the time to get in the market. We've had a little pullback. You need to call Janet Schulteis at Edward Jones Financial Advisors. They got a plan. They look at your risk tolerance, what you're trying to do to perpetuate your money, create a legacy, put yourself in a position to retirement so you can enjoy your life. Give her a call. Beth will probably answer. Beth Geltz, her wonderful assistant, BOA, she'll be there. Give Janet Schulteis a call at Edward Jones Financial Advisors, 479-8215. Doesn't matter where you're at listening to us. Give her a call. She's available. She'll put you in a plan that will perpetuate you. Okay, let's get back at it. We want to thank Lantern Road Capital via the coach's line for bringing our guests up to this point, Bill Somm and Dave Crooks. And we're waiting on Don Schulteis. We're hoping Don's going to call in with who's hot and who's not. Later on, second hour coming up, the second hour of the third season, the first show of this third season, Kyle Neddenrip will be with us. We'll be talking to him about some of the things going on in Indianapolis with high school basketball, as well as the IHSA's new proposal. Folks, so much going on. We talked a little bit earlier about Kevin Love and the NBA. We talked about Paul George getting hurt and how that totally changed what was going on. I do want to add a little bit about this Wiggins trade, which will take place, sending Kevin Love to the Cleveland Cavaliers, sending Anthony Wiggins, to Minnesota. Folks, you can't base things on potential, and I'll tell you why. Kevin Love is established. Paul George is established. Paul George goes down in a USA scrimmage. He's probably out for most of the year for the Pacers. He's probably out the whole year as far as his effectiveness is concerned. So you don't know if Wiggins is going to get in a pickup game, in the practice, going to get hurt. And now they have a guy with potential who can't even play in the season. You can say the same thing about Kevin Love. The difference is Kevin Love is an established NBA player. He understands preparation. He understands how to get himself physically ready for the NBA season. There's a difference when you're a young player just trying to make your mark, maybe going overboard, doing too much, to a veteran who understands that it's a long season, prep time takes time, and you take it step by step. I think Cleveland is doing the right thing. I applaud them for their move, thing to do, and the right way to go. and they've got some good players. Get a little background noise, Joe. Everything okay in the studio?
Yeah, we've been getting some texts back and forth with Don's getting ready to call in to the show, and
okay.
We're getting ready for. Okay. I'm getting ready for what's hot, what's not. Coach, real fast before Don calls in, I want to also say, being a Bengal fan who gets snubbed constantly because of the Pacers, because of the Colts, I appreciate Dave bringing the Bengal games because, you know, we have WAMW on in this house. We get to listen to the whole pregame show, the Bengal game, the postgame, and I'll tell you what, it's just wonderful to be able to do that because we used to have to search the internet for that. But I'll tell you what we're going to do right now, Coach.
When you're hot, you're hot.
We're ready. When you're hot, you're hot. That must mean, Joe, with that music, Jerry Reed's wonderful When You're Hot, You're Hot, that must mean we got Don Schulteis in the house.
Well, happy third year, Coach K and Joe. It sounds like you're starting it off right. Bill Sahm enjoyed him, and the story with this David Crook is unbelievable that the NBA is shutting a little small town station out of wanting to play their hometown hero games. So unbelievable, but you only hear it on the Coach K and Joe show, right?
Absolutely, Don, and I'll tell you what, year number three would not be possible without your mediation ability keeping Joe and myself from going at each other. You know, we could talk about Greg Oden going at his wife or his ex-girlfriend punching her. Learned nothing from Ray Rice's situation when he punched out his wife on an elevator and then walked out and left her there. You've kind of kept, and I don't want to make light of what happened with Greg Oden and Ray Rice because I don't care who you are, what you think you are, what you do. You don't put your hands on another person, especially a woman. It doesn't matter, Stephen A. Smith, what they said. It doesn't matter. You don't do it. But, Don, you've kind of mediated this play between Joe and I at times, and you're either to blame for Season 3 or you get credit for Season 3, one of the two.
I don't want either. I just I'm just a guest on the show, and it's been it's fun to be on the show, and for your listeners, it's even more fun to be involved in show prep and that kind of stuff, being between you and Joe. But lot of texts and phone calls and information going back and forth, but makes me laugh a lot. So.
All right, let's start off Season 3 with our who's hot, who's not. Don, what do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to start on the so hot side today, and we'll flip back and forth. And I know you got Kyle Niedenrep coming up, so I'll try to get through this pretty quick. But I'll tell you, as we get down to the end of golf season, and the fact that the PGA Championships are being played in Louisville, which is so close to Indiana and Southern Indiana particularly, one has to point out that Tiger Woods, the former number one golfer in the world, probably looked at times earlier in his career as the best to ever have played the game, had back surgery back on March the 31st, following several controversial years with problems with his marriage and girlfriends and so on and so forth. But that surgery was supposed to alleviate some damage caused by a pinched nerve, but he has played 7 PGA Tour events this year. Last week, he had to withdraw on the last day due to pain in his back, and it was so undecided whether he was even going to make the tournament here in Louisville this weekend, but he comes out, and Coach K, he shoots the worst round of his career as far as the first day of any tournament goes. He goes 3 over at Valhalla. And I'll tell you, he is currently ranked 215th. So you go from 1 to 215th in the FedEx Cup standings, and he's number 70th for the Ryder Cup points to make the Team USA. I'd say, Coach, Tiger Woods and his hurting back are not hot.
Not hot and wet and soggy today as the second round begins.
All right, shifting to the other side, the hot side. I have to start at the high school level. And, Joe, you are going to be excited, and I know you're aware of this, but I got to tell all your listeners that Ryan Klein, who's been a 3 and will soon be a 4-year starter for Carmel High School basketball team, and during that stretch has won 2 state championships and is now committed to play basketball for one Matt Painter at Purdue University. A couple of weekends ago, went out to Las Vegas to participate. His Indiana Elite AAU team participated in the Adidas Uprising tourney in Las Vegas. He had 25 points. And in scoring those, he hit 7 out of 10 from the three-point line. He was later, he led his team to victory of that 64-team tournament. And these are not, you know, plugger teams. These are 64 of the best teams in the country, if not in the world, because I know having attended some of these events, they come in from all over. Ryan Klein was named the MVP of that tournament, and his stock, as far as the recruiting trails, is going up. And I hear that other people are knocking on his door to see just how tight he is with one Matt Painter. But I'll tell you this week, Coach, Ryan Klein of Carmel High School is hot.
And Purdue feels a little bit of that sizzle, Don. A little bit of that sizzle.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. And I think he's got a lot of upside, Coach, and I think he could be I think he'll be one of the leading candidates for this year's Mr. Basketball, coming basketball season. So be interesting to see. Now, flipping back, you'd already let the cat out of the bag on this one, but Greg Oden has made my not-hot list this week, Coach. He was arrested at 3:30 yesterday morning after punching his girlfriend right in the face. Articles talk about how the cops showed up and there was blood everywhere. She was strewn across a bed. I tell you, he's just been struggling and going through all his problems with his injuries, and although he did participate with the Miami Heat last year, Oden was calm. This is a quote from the paper. Oden was calm, apologetic, and cooperative, and stated, "I was wrong, and I know what has to happen." But Greg Oden, I hope you get some help, but this week you are not hot.
You know, Don, the disappointing thing about that is I mean, I'm not going to lie, Coach K was a cheerleader for the return of Greg Oden to have an opportunity to play back in the NBA, and I think he is really, regardless of his physical situation, teams are going to be very suspect about bringing somebody on with that kind of baggage.
I agree, and he was caught tweeting tweeting some pictures of his body parts a year or year plus ago that also adds to that baggage that he's carrying around. So, you know, going back to my comments, I think he needs to get a little bit of help, and hopefully he can get through this period of his life. Now, flipping over to the hot side, Coach, and even though I was snubbed by him in St. Louis earlier this summer when Brother Eddie and I took the jaunt, I have to put Derek Jeter out on the hot list. He's playing his last season, 20. And back on July 28th, he passed Carl Yastrzemski for the seventh place on the all-time hit list. He has set many other records for the Yankees and for Major League Baseball, and he's been really the poster child for MLB probably for the better part of two decades. So, Derek Jeter, my hat, I take my hat off to you as you're making your final trip around all the ballparks over the next 2 months. You are hot. And if and he is just a wonderful player. You know, you talk about people that grew up in the 40s and the 50s, the 60s. They got to see the Mantles and the DiMaggios, the 70s with the benches and the roses when they were playing. Those guys, I mean, he really is a generational baseball hero, model, icon, who just has seemed to do everything the right way and for the right reasons. But I might tell our listeners, Don, that not only did you have piss poor luck, so to speak, in seeing Derek Jeter play, the last four or five times you tried to see Scott Rowland play, drove a couple hours, no matter whether it was to St. Louis, Cincinnati, wherever, you'd get there, and he wasn't in the lineup. Yeah, I'm hoping he'll come back out of his sabbatical and play one more season, so at least I get to see him play on the field, because that is true. The last three or four times I went, and several times took multiple family members with me, paying for the trip, we show up, and he is not in the lineup. So, yeah, next time I'm not telling anybody I'm going to go see somebody play, and hopefully the person that I'm really focused on seeing play will be in the lineup. Anyway, continuing on the not-so-hot side, and I can't believe this. I heard earlier as you guys were starting the show that Joe was took him a long time to become aware of Paul George of the Pacers. He's, you know, had struggled in the scrimmage as he broke his leg, both his tibia and his fibula bones above the ankle. Now they say it's a clean break after he underwent surgery and repaired that. But it's going to take at least a full season in experts' opinions. And some have even said it'll probably be almost 2 years before he gains that mental confidence to spring off that thing, even if it heals completely. I am a little bit concerned that he might not return to that full flavor, although I hope he does. But I will say, Coach, Pacer Paul George, and I have to even throw the Pacers in this one, not hot.
Not hot. Not hot. You're right.
All right, on the hot side, you mentioned earlier the Cleveland Cavaliers have reached an agreement to bring Kevin Love in for number one draft choice and signed pick, Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett, and a protected first-round pick in 2015. Love will also re-sign with the Cavs in 2015 for a five-year, $120 million contract. So he is all in, Coach K, according to the sources. Although we won't find out officially until August the 23rd, because there's some, you know, additional rule. As David Crook knows, some of these rules are crazy. After you sign a number one draft pick, there's like a quiet period. So this will not be officially announced until the 23rd or thereabouts. But Love, getting back to Kevin Love, he, as you pointed out, has averaged 26 points, 12.5 rebounds, and he joins LeBron and Kyrie Irving. They now have, Coach K, the big three that you need to march into an NBA championship run. Now, you need other parts, but it looks like the mistake by the lake will be no more in Cleveland. So, Cleveland Cavaliers, you are hot.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, Don. And they're looking at possibly picking up Sean Marion and Ray Allen, two veterans who can definitely bring something to the table as well. So the mistake by the lake becomes a choice piece of steak.
Absolutely. Now, I'll wrap up on each side. You talked a little bit about this, and I think you're going to discuss this in more detail with Kyle Niedenrep. But for your listeners' sake, one Aaron Gordon, formerly of North Central High School, was officially denied eligibility due to transferring for what Commissioner Bobby Cox has stated as the most blatant transfer for athletic reasons that there ever has been, which, Coach K, I have to say as an aside, Commissioner Bobby Cox probably should not be commenting like that until the appeal process works out. But that's another point of contention. Now, former teammate Jordan Walker was granted full eligibility to make the transfer to Cathedral High School in Indianapolis. So it's a crazy situation. Aaron has appealed the case. It will be heard by an executive committee at the IHSAA on August 19th, but it won't stop there. It'll move on to, I think, the Department of Education and have a determination there. Now, sources tell me, Coach, that Aaron Gordon has enrolled, is attending class today at Cathedral High School, just for anybody that was wondering if it wasn't for academic. But I'd say with this mess that he's got in front of him, I mean, I wish him well and the family, but Aaron Gordon is not hot this week.
Ooh. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that with Kyle Niedenrep coming up, so maybe we'll get a little more skinny.
All right, and to wrap up my segment for this beginning of year three of the Coach K and Joe Show, I have to tell your listeners that one Coach K, in support of his wife, started a special diet to help her with some issues that she deals with, and has been basically on a no-carb diet for just a couple of months, and Coach K, listen to this, Joe, because I know you've been through it, has lost almost 35 pounds. So some of you guys that know Coach K may not recognize him on the street, but all kidding aside, he looks great, feels great, and there's more to lose. So, Coach K, you are hot.
Well, thank you, Don. I'd rather that be coming from a female guest, but I get it, and my wife, Janet, has rheumatoid arthritis, and we're blessed and thankful to God that it's basically stayed almost in remission. But we decided we would lose some of those extra pounds together because it would be good on her joints. And I needed to lose a lot more than she did. She already looked great. But through a no-carb to a low-carb, and I am eating the crust on pizza once in a while, I have lost around 30, 32 pounds, and I could probably lose a few more, but appreciate the hot, Don. Appreciate it. Absolutely, 100%. I want to thank Don Schulteis for being with us. And, folks, I might remind you that all our guests today are courtesy of the Lantern Road Capital Coaches Line, financial partners to grow your business. Don, thanks for being with us.
All right, Coach K, great show, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, we continue with the first show of year three. We're headed to break. When we come back, We've got Kyle Niedenrip from the Indianapolis Star. We're going to talk a little bit about some things going on with the IHSA and maybe some potential recruiting restrictions on kids changing high schools. Hey, we wouldn't get too controversial on this show, would we? We'll see. We're going to break. You're listening to year number 3 of the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we are back on the Coach K and Joe Show. It's year 3, and we are about almost halfway through the second hour on this Friday, August the 8th show. And our next guest, courtesy of the Lantern Road Capital Coaches Line, financial partners to grow your business, Lantern Road Capital, based out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Our next guest, Indy Star Sports extraordinaire when it comes to high school sports, Kyle Niedenrip. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, Kyle, great to have you back again on year 3. As we get started, a lot of things have gone on through the summer months up in the Indy area. You know, you've got baseball, and now we're going into football. But we've also got AAU, and now we've got guys who have changed high schools, and the IHSA now has a proposal out on the table to change the basketball class alignment and tournament for the boys. But I want to start, I know you've talked about it on your podcast, you've tweeted about it. I want to start with some of this stuff that's going on. We had a couple of pretty high-profile players from North Central High School who have a pretty good basketball coach over there. Aaron Gordon and Jordan Walker decide they're going to switch high schools and go to Cathedral. And I got to tell you right now, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. There are a lot of our listeners and maybe a little bit of Coach K that wonders if through AAU and all the other stuff that goes on now, if they're in a little tampering and recruiting and athletic reasons for transferring going on, Bobby Cox and the IHSA are right in the middle of it all. We've got one player who decided to transfer after the first player. He's okayed, and I'm still hearing that Aaron Gordon's transfer has been denied, but he is. Tell us about what's going on and where this thing is headed.
Well, it's funny. I've actually got a story, I think it's going to be on the website today sometime, about I kind of looked into the transfer rules. And, you know, Aaron Gordon's just the starting point. You know, this story isn't necessarily about his case in particular, but more about how different states, you know, I sent out inquiries to all 50 state associations in the District of Columbia. I got a bunch of material back. I mean, most of these states have, you know, rule books on transfers that are, you know, 12, 13 pages deep of, you know, how they deal with them. There's all kinds of exceptions. You know, most of them allow you to play if you move into a district and that, you know, and then you're eligible right away. If not, if you don't move, then it's kind of every state has their own way of dealing with it. And really, you know, I found, you know, tons of different things as far as, you know, what states, different states do. California, you know, they have switched theirs to only 30 days. You know, basically, you know, you sit out the first 30 days of school, then you can play, even if you didn't move into that district. You know, so that's opened up the door for a lot of, you know, like kind of like you mentioned about, you know, AAU kind of compiling all-star teams at the high school level. And they've even talked out there about, you know, even having a transfer division, you know, where if you have a certain percentage of transfer players on your team, you know, you're kind of in your own division. So, you know, that's a whole different ballgame out there. The IHSA has decided to, you know, kind of dig in and try to, you know, fight athletic transfers. Although if you look at the numbers, you know, according to their numbers, 85% of all, you know, 4,200-something transfers from last year were granted full eligibility. And only, you know, 0.5% were totally ineligible. The remaining either had, you know, limited eligibility or were temporarily ineligible for other reasons, you know, grades or whatever. But, you know, Bobby Cox will point to that number and say, hey, you know, our mission is to allow kids to have eligibility. And that's where, you know, talking to him, that's where they like some flexibility in their rule, whereas some states are very black and white, say, you know, they don't necessarily investigate anything, but, you know, if you sit out, you sit out this number of games. Ohio just, you know, they changed their rule to say, you know, similar situation, a kid doesn't move into a district and transfers, he has to sit out half of his team's varsity games if he played varsity ball somewhere else the year before. So, you know, for football, he would sit out the first five regular season games, and then he's eligible to play the rest of the year. You know, basketball, you know, whatever half is, you know, probably 11 games, and then you're eligible. So, you know, that's an interesting way to go about it. I think many people, you know, specifically to Indiana, you know, talking to people, they just think there's a lot of gray area, and they, you know, kind of believe the IHSA picks and chooses which battles they want to battle. And I think you could even point to the situation you mentioned with Aaron Gordon. You know, they don't let him have any eligibility, and yet Jordan Walker, you know, also a starting guard for North Central, same as Gordon, transfers to the same school, you know, public to private, North Central Cathedral, and immediately has full eligibility. So I think that's where some people are kind of scratching their heads saying, well, why Walker, not Gordon? And, you know, I think it's a legitimate, you know, I think there maybe needs to be some more clarity in the rule as to, and that's, again, where they like the flexibility of saying, you know, if we think there's something fishy, you know, we can investigate it further. And, you know, that's what happened in the Gordon case. I don't know exactly, you know, he hasn't said exactly what they found in the Gordon case to make them believe that he transferred for athletic reasons. I think, you know, maybe that'll come out later in the appeals process, but we'll see. And so, you know, each state deals with it differently, basically, and this is the way Indiana has chose to go about how they handle athletic transfers. I don't know if it's right or wrong. I think each state is more than half of all the state associations have changed their rule in the last 4 years in some way or another. So it tells you that, you know, it's not a specific problem or issue in Indiana. It's all over the country, you know. And I think some of this travel ball stuff has opened the door for people to, you know, maybe meet other people that they wouldn't have otherwise. And I think a lot of it at play here is parents saying, well, my son will have a better opportunity to play here. You know, he's sitting behind a star player. And, you know, that's not the case in the Gordon situation, but I think that happens a lot of times too. But that's a long answer to your question. But, I don't think this is over by any means with Gordon. And I think it's still got a couple stages to play out still.
Well, I think the big thing, Kyle, that you point out is that this is just a microcosm of a much bigger systemic situation that is being created. I know that, just for full disclosure, in a Catholic school, a private school, I've coached in the public school. I've been around when the IHSA had, the rule was so concrete, you never, ever saw anyone transfer unless they picked up and the families literally moved, and there had to be no hint, absolutely none, that there could be that they were mad at the coach, they wanted to play for a team they could win more with, and I've seen it change so much. I think the IHSA and Bobby Cox, and I know I've seen Twitter discussion and Twitter arguments You don't know the rule. Yes, you do know the rule. No, I don't know. The bottom line is this. They're between a rock and a hard place right now, in my opinion. I think the time I spent this summer, I decided I was going to spend a little bit more time going to some AAU tournaments, getting a better feel for AAU, since I had the other side, which is the high school basketball coaching side. And I see an amazing, and I don't know if you agree with me or not on this, Kyle, but I see a total changing of the amateur athletic landscape on the high school level when it comes to basketball, when it comes to baseball. I think that we will see kids in Indiana in the not too, they may not even play for their high school teams. And I'm talking about any high school team. They just may train during the winter months, play AAU, and I got to be honest, I think most college coaches coming through right now, how much you play for your high school team isn't as specific as we like what you do in AAU and we think you can play.
Yeah, and I've heard that before, you know, and I think the next, you know, Bobby Cox has even said it, you know, the next 10 years will be interesting to see how high school athletics kind of evolves. You know, I look at some of these states, and I think they're almost to that point of, you know, it's almost a club sport. And the state associations are saying, go ahead. You know, I mean, we're tired of fighting it, and we can't really fight it. You know, Florida, you know, basically their state legislature has taken it out of the state association's hands where, you know, they made a rule in 2012 basically saying it's up to the schools to decide, you know, if the schools decide to take them, you know, and they don't believe there's any athletic motivation, you know, go ahead and do it. You know, and that is really, Florida has really become, you know, it's almost like free agency down there. And you know, I've heard that here too. I've heard the, you know, the free agency, you know, thing, you know, the words kind of thrown around, you know, in the summer, especially in Marion County where there's so many schools that are close to each other and the large amount of high-quality basketball players around here. You know, I don't think our state is to the point of where, you know, Florida is by any means, where you got kids just jumping all over the place because, you know, there's just not, you know, it's not allowed as much here. But there is a lot of it, a lot more than maybe you've seen previously. You know, the curious thing in the Gordon case that's a little bit unusual is that both schools signed off on the transfer, you know, and sign off is the wrong language, I think, because you don't just sign off and automatically get eligibility, but they recommended on their transfer sheet that Gordon should get full eligibility. And in most cases, that is rubber stamped by the IHSA once that happens. And in this case, it's not unprecedented that, you know, that happened that way. But that's what makes this a little bit unusual. I know that's what the Gordon side is confused about. You know, they think they're kind of being singled out here. And, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with them because I've seen so many kids who kind of jump from school to school and there's, you know, the school sign off and there's no questions asked, you know. And in a lot of cases, you know, I would think pretty obvious it's for athletic reasons. And in this case, you know, I think would maybe say it's for athletic reasons. And, you know, I think there probably is a, you know, an athletic aspect, obviously, to it. But you're going from North Central, which is a basketball power, to Cathedral, which, you know, is a good program, but, you know, maybe not the quality of North Central over the years. So, you know, I can see where they would have a case here, and I can see where they would think some of these rules are a little bit inconsistent as to how they're, kind of coming down the pike from the IHSA. So, I don't know, it's an interesting case. I know it's raised a lot of questions around here. Everywhere I go, people want to ask about it and talk about it.
Well, I think that you run into these situations. I think it's only going to get worse in like the Indianapolis areas, the large urban areas where – here's another thing, Kyle, and I know I kind of just jumped from a point, but I did want to bring this up. You know, as I attended a couple of these AAU tournaments, I was at the Super Showcase in Louisville at the end of the year, talking to different coaches, talking to some college coaches as well as some of the AAU coaches. It's clear to me, I mean, it really is. If I go back and coach high school basketball, I am absolutely, especially if I'm in the Indianapolis area, and IHSA, if you're listening, I know you have occasionally to the show, if you're listening, I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm going to try to, instead of putting a wall up to these AAU coaches, I'm going to try to connect myself to these AAU coaches and these places that train. I mean, let's face it, Eddie Schilling didn't build Park Tudor on his good looks. Of course, nice-looking guy. I've known him for years. But he's out training basketball players, and they end up at Park Tudor when he was there. So my point is, I think I'm going to connect up with some of these AAU coaches and not fight with them, because they have the ear of some of these kids as they're coming up. The next thing you know, you might have a couple of them at your school, especially if you're in the Indianapolis area.
Yeah, and you just happen to be the hottest button, you know, the biggest hot button topic of all is, you know, that exact thing. And, you know, that's something I think maybe the next rule change implemented here. I mean, I think it's a long way off still. I mean, there's been no formal proposal, but, you know, talking to Michigan, Colorado, a couple other states now have rules in place to say, if you follow a coach who has trained you, follow a coach who has coached you in AAU to the school that they coach at, you have to sit out a year. And so I think that is – there's another state I can't think of who has done that as well, but Oregon, I believe. And they say that has really cut off a lot of that stuff. And so, you know, I think that's – you know, talking to Marty Johnson from Perry Meridian the other day, he's on the IBCA executive board, and that's something he's brought up with the IHSAA. And I think that you know, he hasn't formally proposed anything, but he's had some conversations and had conversations with – obviously with other basketball coaches and that sort of thing. So – you know, that's in the story I'm writing. It'll be in Sunday's paper, and, you know, like I said, probably online today. That's part of the story, is that exact thing. You know, and I think, you know, like you said, I mean, why not align yourself, you know, with these people? You know, if it's under the rules right now, you know, you can do that. You can have those people on your staff. You can, you know, have a trainer who's, you know, on staff or whatever. You know, that's going to help. That's going to open the door for you to get kids into your program. And I know that's something that, you know, a lot of people didn't like about, you know, what Park Tudor was doing, but, you know, it was something they used to their advantage. So, yeah, I think that's a good topic you brought up.
Yeah, and Kyle, the fact that you're bringing this up in print is wonderful. While I was down there, I mean, I was on the other side of the fence a few years ago. I said, you know, if I don't like this AAU, I don't like what it's doing, you don't have real coaches out there, blah, blah, blah. When I went down and got to meet some of these guys, a couple guys out of Indianapolis, I know, didn't get to see him at Louisville, but I've talked to him a little bit here in Evansville. I think they are quality as far as trying to teach the kids how to play hard, play smart, and do the right things. Not all of them. I'm not saying that. Some of them go find the best talent, get a sponsor, and throw the ball out there and say, I'll find you a way to college. They may find them a way or not. You know, some do, some don't. But I changed in that. Had I taken a job this year back in high school, I would absolutely be much more cordial and much more open to these AAU coaches, because I truly believe, especially in the urban areas, it can be, and pardon, I'm just going to be honest, a pipeline for potential very good players coming in. And there's a way to work with them. When it's AAU season, they're doing their thing. And when it's high school season, the AAU coach says, you focus on your high school basketball and your coach, and you do the things that need to be done there. So I don't know how you stop it unless you put some of these rules in place, especially when we're talking about Evansville, Indianapolis, Gary, Fort Wayne, those real urban areas where you have those field houses and AAU teams, and there's more than one. There's 5, 6, 8, 10, and a lot of basketball training going on.
Yeah, and I you know, I'll be interested to see what ends up happening with that. You know, kind of like, you know, I don't, I, because I cover AAU, I, you know, I get out and see it quite a bit, and I know it's not, you know, it's sometimes made out to just be this terrible underbelly of society, and, you know, there's some aspects of it that I don't like, but there's a lot of good people in it, have been in it for decades, you know, and are doing it for the right reasons. You know, there's not a lot, you know, I don't think Indiana has a whole lot of people just with their hand out trying to use these kids, at least, you know, because, like I said, most of these people have been in it for a long time, you know, and if they've been in it for a long time, that shows probably a history of being able to do things the right way. So, you know, in any aspect of society, any cross-section, you're going to have, you know, people who are, you know, in it for the wrong reasons, and I'm sure that's true of AAU. I'm sure it's true of high school coaches. But, you know, I don't see – and to go back real quickly to what we're talking about with transfers, I'd probably be remiss not to bring up how the open enrollment has changed things too. You know, that in 2009, 2010, that really opened the door for a lot of this stuff to happen where, you know, school choice was made available – but the rules for athletics didn't change. You could change schools for other reasons and not have to pay tuition like you used to, but you still couldn't change, you know, if you're found to transfer for athletic reasons, you know, that aspect didn't change. So, you know, that opened the door, that removed the deterrent, you know, for transferring, you know, without having to pay tuition, you know, that removed the boundaries, and, you know, that made you know, jumped up the transfer numbers and probably made things harder for the IHSA to sort of police this. But you know, I just thought about that. You know, talking about the transfers, that's something that, you know, has to be brought up as well, because that definitely changed the rules and changed the landscape of things.
Yeah, Kyle, I would agree. Open enrollment absolutely made a huge difference. And I know when it started, I thought, what a mess this is going to be for the IHSA and athletics as soon as parents – and coaches catch on. Now you've got the vouchers in place, which also were that the intent was not to allow kids to be able to go into private schools to play sports. It was to get them out of a cycle of bad education and into a quality one. I was right there working for that. It's just sad that some of these things, they get abused. And as much as I could criticize the IHSA, I also have to agree with you and say, they were kind of put in between a rock and a hard place, because these rules get changed within education and the state government, how things work, and they're kind of an after fact. But here's the thing. In this AAU debate, you either embrace it so you can help shape it, or you can your hand up and let people distort it and move it in a direction that's not something that we want or is good for kids or good for schools or whatever it might be. But it's here, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
No, and it's not. And, you know, I know I've written a lot about AAU, and I've gotten, you know, negative responses from people about it. And, you know, most of those people don't go to it, you know, and they just kind of go off what they hear, and they assume every 100% of the stuff is terrible. You know, and then there's stuff, like I said, I don't like. You know, I think they play too many games. You know, I think it's too hard on kids' bodies sometimes to play this much. You know, and the way the tournaments are set up in July, I think it's just, I don't know. I think it's just too much. But for these high level kids who are, you know, chasing, and really more a problem I have with some of this youth sports stuff is at the younger levels. With kids who are starting to come up into that age bracket of travel, sports, and stuff. I just, you know, I think a lot of people are just out to, you know, put money in their pocket. You know, they don't need to be traveling to multiple states at, you know, 8, 9 years old. You know, why not just, you know, especially around here in Indianapolis where you got so many kids to play against. But that's a whole different topic. But yeah, AAU, I think, has its place, and there's things that can be improved about it. Just like there can be things improved at the high school game. So, you know, I'm not a big anti-AAU guy, but I can see where people would think there's some improvements to be made, and I agree with them.
Yeah, and before we let you go, because I want to respect your time, you just hit a couple other points. And the people that are listening, I don't want you to think that our show's pro or against AAU. There's a lot of good things in it. There's a lot of over things in it. There's some guys, sleazy people making a lot of money off it. Folks don't think there's not. when you're charging $300-$500 a team, and you're charging kids to play, and you're having tournaments every weekend, and you got 50-100 teams coming in, if you think there's not money being made in somebody's pocket, you're crazy. So we know that happened. But I'm saying that in order to get something regulated or get it in the right direction and shape it, you almost got to embrace it a little bit. You can say you're against Facebook, I'll bet you're using it now. You're against Twitter, I'll bet you're using it now. I mean, we're talking about a lot of young kids who are looking for adult direction and leadership to make the right decisions, because young people at that age don't have the experience to make the right decisions. So this is more of a topic we'll be talking with AAU people about as we go on through the year. I got a great a beginning education this summer, and I certainly am going to continue to pursue and understand it. Kyle, I'm going to let you go, but I do want you to take 20 seconds, just real quickly, let the people know what the IHSA just put out on the table to be voted on.
Yeah, basically it's going to be a four-class system. You know, there was talk about three classes, but, you know, basically to the gist of it, they're going to put class four into 64 teams, 16 sectionals, and I believe they want to have all those games played on a Saturday. So it'd be kind of like the regional. I think it's kind of cool. You know, I think there's still some questions about that from the athletic directors to be answered. But, you know, basically that's it. You know, and then they're going to put the other three classes into, you know, evenly. So they're about, you know, 16 sectionals in each of those three classes, about, you know, seven or eight teams in each one. And those will be played basically as it was before, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and kind of go from there. So really not, you know, not huge sweeping changes maybe that people wanted. I don't think we were ever going to get that, though. I think that was probably, you know, just a pipe dream. We're never going back to one class. And there was a lot of stuff out there that I liked as far as, you know, maybe using some sort of compromise. But, you know, this is – we'll see what happens with this. It still has to be voted on in October. But I think this is probably what we're going to get. And it's similar to football, you know, where they made the classes uneven as far as the number of teams in each one to try to, you know, squeeze the discrepancy from the largest 4A to the smallest. And so they've done that. Now, you know, schools like Cathedral now bounce down to 3A, though. So, you know, that's kind of a byproduct of this, at least if their enrollment stays about what it is now. And, you know, schools like Mooresville and, you know, a few others in our area will drop down to 3A. So, but, you know, I kind of like it for 4A. I kind of like the format. The other three classes, I'm not sure it changes a whole lot other than maybe makes it somewhat tougher because you're going to be battling with some bigger schools that used to be in 4A.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking more about this on the show, and I've got a member of the IHSA executive board I'd like to bring on and probably have you back as well. And just once we get a little bit better feel for the proposal and everything, we can come back and hash it out a little bit more. Kyle, tell our listeners how they can follow you on Twitter and your podcast, that type of stuff.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere on IndyStar.com. Kyle Nedenrip is my handle on Twitter. And, you know, we just started doing those podcasts. We're doing kind of a weekly thing on IndyStar.com. And I was the guest this week talking about high school stuff. And I assume we're going to be doing quite a few of those, you know, throughout football. And actually, our football preview, I got to get cracking on. That'll be out a week from Sunday. So as soon as I get done with this transfer stuff, I'm moving on to that. So kind of switching seasons very quickly, but looking forward to football, definitely. So, but yeah, I appreciate you having me on, and we'd love to do it anytime.
Well, we follow you on Twitter, and we'll listen to those podcasts. It's great stuff. You always get good information. And ever since you were on the tournament picking show for the IHSA, you've become a star.
I don't know about that, but I appreciate the opportunity.
We'll talk to you later, Kyle. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Joe is going to jump in here, and we're going to end Season 3 in the first show of the year. You're listening, Season 3, Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family, cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Coach, a lot of good information there. You know, that was an all-star lineup. Bill Sahm, Don Schultheis, with What's Hot, What's Not, Kyle Niedenrip, Dave Crooks. I mean, it was a power-packed show this week, and you know, we're going to have to work hard to equal the guests we've had this week.
Well, it was a great start to the third season, and I think a lot of critical issues came up. You know, you get the Power Five Conference. What's that going to do in changing the landscape of recruiting in college athletics? You've got the AAU, the recruiting rules, kids transferring from schools up in the Indianapolis area, the AAU question, all those things, Joe, that, and I mean this, folks, whether you agree with me or not, or agree with Joe's points on this stuff, or Kyle's points on this stuff, the bottom line is you have to embrace it in order to shape it. If you're just going to put your hand up, if you're going to stick your head into the ground, if you're going to refuse to have anything to do with it, then you can't complain on the direction that it takes. And I'm not going to criticize Bobby Cox and the IHSA unless I'm taking the time to try to get involved and have some insight and hopefully at some point input into the shaping and the direction of it. I've been on both sides. I've been in the private school. I've been in the public school. And now I'm really drawing a connection to the AAU side. And we're just seeing a changing landscape, Joe, when it comes to high school and college athletics.
Yeah, and you know, I'm looking at the enrollments of you know, trying to figure out where everyone would fit in, and you know, the thing that kind of scares me about this sectional alignment, you know, and you've got, you know, Jasper being in the middle there with Wright and Central and some of these schools, Boonville. That's fine, but then you've also got Harrison. You've got North Harrison and Silver Creek, and a few of these that might also be in that class. I'm not sure where the cutoff cuts in, and you know, if Jasper would have to go east instead of west, it would totally be disconnected as far as sectional goes and rivalries and et cetera.
Yeah, Joe, I kind of briefly looked at that. You have to really look at the enrollment situation and the cutoff lines. I think geographically, and I told one of the board members of the IHSA, I don't think it did anything to help the geographical situation as far as creating the intense and exciting rivalries between communities. You're going to have people driving a long way. They're disconnected. They've never played each other. The other problem I see, Joe, is I see in certain class situations, the lower end of one class versus the higher end of the class, double school enrollment. And if the point in class the point in class sports was to even the playing field from an enrollment standpoint, that's certainly not doing it.
Well, you know, I took minus 64 teams off the total schools and then divided it, and it takes it to 178. From 65 to 178 would be the 3A, and 65th right now is Mishawaka at 1560, and 176 is, or it's 175 is Salem at 627 students.
Yeah, it's just absolutely ridiculous that they would say we're going to take the top 60. I think they'd be better off taking the top 32 teams and then evening out the enrollment scale in the classes a little bit after that, because you can't tell me, Joe, and you've been around sports as long as I have, you can't tell me that a school with 1,500, 1,400, 1,300 doesn't have a sizable advantage over somebody with 600, 700, 800 students. I don't care what you say. You do. Year in and year out, you do. Maybe it's lost Joe. I don't know. Let's see. Sorry for the dead time here, folks. I'm still showing 5 minutes to go on the show. So, looks like some technical difficulties have hit us. But as far as we're concerned, we're not going to be able to decide on this new class proposal, but we are certainly they're doing and why they're doing it, so we can understand what they're talking about. I just don't think this new proposal solves the issues that most people were looking at. Folks, we had a great show. You know, we're back for the third season, and we had a great show. And before we come back next week, remember, the Little League World Series is getting ready to get set and organized. And so I don't care if you love baseball or not, if you love kids, if you love watching people compete, if you love excitement and emotion, you're going to want to watch the Little League World Series.
Coach, I'm back. My phone at 50% died. I had to plug it in real fast. Not quite sure what's going on.
We had that awkward period of silence, but I'm pretty much bringing us to the end of the show, Joe. I think we've got about 3 minutes left, and I said whether you like baseball or you like kids or you like excitement and emotion, we've got the Little League World Series getting ready to come up out of Williamsport. You mentioned earlier in the show a team from New Albany has a chance to qualify from Indiana. Folks, I know you could be anywhere in the world listening to the Coach K and Joe show, and you should be. It'll bring world peace for sure. But we're located in the southern part of Indiana, the Midwest of the United States, and about an hour and a half east of my studio and an hour or so east of Joe's is New Albany, Indiana, a nice town on the Ohio River across from Kentucky, the state line, and their team has a chance to win and go to Williamsport.
Yes, they do, and it'd be exciting. Anybody local that can make it there is, you know, in New Albany, I consider local as far as Little League goes, is a great deal, and it's just, you know, they've been there before, them and Jeffersonville, and it's I love watching the Little League World Series, but it's even a lot cooler when there's a local team there competing for the championship.
And Joe, before we end this show, I just got to say this, guys. Keep your hands off women. Girls, don't punch men. Girls, it ain't cool to fight each other. And guys, I don't care what, you don't have any reason to ever hit a female. Period. If you're 3 years old, 30 years old, 63 years old, keep your – Greg Oden, Ray Rice, it's a sad, sad commentary. They're going to pay a price for it in their life.
Yes, it is. And I'll tell you, Coach, real quick story. We got a minute and a half, real quick. Actually, at Reese's last AAU basketball game this year, I almost got kicked out of the gym because I went and got a director and told him that a male on the other team had threatened to hit one of our female fans. And I was just amazed that for some reason, he never got – and they wanted to escort me out, and they never said a word to him. And it's like, at that point, I could have cared less what the score said. A female was threatened to hit by a male, and that never, ever, ever right.
Absolutely, absolutely not. And it's just sad in our society that we have people of that high level to show folks it doesn't matter how much money you have, how much fame you have, how big you are, how short you are. People do stupid things, and you've got to have a little bit more control over yourself. We've all made mistakes. I've made them. Joe, we've all done things that we regret. But, folks, keep your hands. As someone who has a daughter, Joe has a daughter, keep your hands off females, grabbing them, hitting them, showing you're bigger, stronger. It ain't cool, boy. It's a, you're just a fool. You're not cool. You're a fool. Joe, take us home.
Okay. Yeah, we appreciate you listening to our first episode of Season 3. And for Coach K, this is Joe saying we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.